to order. We are not hearing Senate Bill 215 today. We are not hearing House Bill 2129 today. But I'm starting to think we're going to have a public hearing.
Is every possibility?
Well, I am really sorry to have raised your hopes.
Will you take a motion?
But you just said it's no longer in force of effect.
You see, some of us are on the Commerce Committee, and we don't have any hopes of leaving here today.
Well, that's true. All right. We'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2583. And we will welcome our guests to the Rules Committee. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Fred Neal. I'm one of the managers of the Elections Division. With me this afternoon is Ms. Vicki Irvin, who's the Elections Director for Multnomah County, Oregon, and representing the Oregon Association of County Clerks. House Bill 2583 is put in at the request of both Secretary and the Oregon Association of County Clerks in order to clarify the intent of the statute enacted last session, allowing for actually requiring the inactivation of a voter who has failed to vote for 5 years. It was not the intention of the clerks, and we don't really think it was the intention of the legislature to mean that just because you hadn't voted didn't mean you needed to be moved to inactive status. If you'd updated your registration regularly or otherwise communicated with the county election official that you were still where you were and would be willing to vote at any time, the clerk put something meaningful for you on the ballot so that you were motivated enough to vote. And because really the issue of moving someone to inactive after 5 years is, you know, that last step in the folks that have moved on and you haven't determined that otherwise. The Postal Service hasn't responded with information that indicates they've moved somewhere else. Ballots have not been returned, marked undeliverable, et cetera. And so we just want to clarify in this, rather simply, that they have neither voted, they can be moved, shall be moved to inactive if they have neither voted nor updated their registration for a period of at least 5 years.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Irvin.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I don't really have much else to add except I think this is just simply a clarification. It keeps us from looking really silly when every 6 months we send a notice to the same voter and they've said, yes, I'm still here, but they still haven't voted, and this would solve that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Representative Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there any, not that it would impact this bill, because I think the bill is a good bill, but is there any pending litigation still on voters that have been identified as inactive in terms of some of the issues we've had in the last election?
Mr. Chair, Representative Devlin, Fred Neal. There is, we're very close to a consent decree and order in a Multnomah County case that deals with, it was Multnomah County, Vicki's more.
I like seeing you struggle. I'm going to jump in here. Would you like me to?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Representative Devlin, I know of no new cases at all. We had one case in Multnomah County that this was part of the issue. It also had to do with whether or not, the primary issue was whether or not you could count a signature on a petition as valid if the person was inactive at the time they signed it. That was the main issue. This was all sort of peripheral to that, saying that maybe this shouldn't happen. That suit literally is over. We're just waiting to sign on the dotted line to what the agreement was.
Right. Thank you. Any more questions on this bill? Any discussion from the committee on this bill?
Would you like a motion?
We're still in public. Any thoughts from anyone on this? The bill?
The inactive voter, once they vote, they're no longer inactive?
Mr. Chair, Representative Starr, yes, that's correct. They would be moved back to active status.
You might have just said that, Dan, but do they get a ballot? An inactive voter, do they get a ballot mailed to them?
Mr. Chair, Representative Starr, no, they do not automatically get a ballot mailed to them, but if they notify us either with an update or that they are still there, then they're moved to active and they do get a ballot automatically.
Okay. Anybody else?
Okay, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2583, and I'll open a work session on 2583. Representative Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, move House Bill 2583 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Devlin moves House Bill 2583 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Right, Jennifer, if you would call the roll, please.
Representative Devlin?
Aye.
Representative Doyle?
Aye.
Representative Gardner?
Aye.
Representative
Hart? He is excused.
Representative Mark?
Aye.
Representative
Aye.
Representative
Walter?
Aye.
Representative
Wilson?
Vote aye. And the motion carries. And anybody like to volunteer to carry?
Aye.
Okay. Representative Devlin will be the carrier. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2583. We'll now open a public hearing on House Bill 2584. And I guess we'll welcome back our guests. To reintroduce yourself for the record, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Fred Neal. I'm one of the managers of the Oregon Elections Division, representing the Secretary of State's office this afternoon. With me is Ms. Vicki Irvin, Multnomah County Elections Director, representing the Oregon County Clerks. House Bill 2584 is before you at our request to institute the authorization of county elections officials to regulate the conduct of observers both at polling places and in vote by mail situations where the votes are collected and tallied. The statute that did provide for that was inadvertently repealed in the housekeeping measure last session, where there was an effort to both update vote by mail statutes and to repeal vestigial polling place statutes. This statute, ORS 254-305, got caught up in the mix and should not have been. It only applied to polling place, so we brought back before you two separate sections. Section 2 of the bill would institute to reinstigate that language for polling place elections, and Section 3 would apply to elections conducted by mail, maintaining that separation, which is instructive for all elections officials of distinguishing between polling place elections and how to conduct them versus vote by mail elections. The additional language in Section 5 on page 2 subsection 2 is to limit that the electioneering statute which is within 100 feet measured radially from the building to include buildings in which ballots are issued. In most cases, well, in all cases really, that's the county election official's office. Some cases that's in the courthouse, in other cases it's in a separate facility. And so that language on lines 3 through 5 is meant to extend that to in a vote by mail situation where ballots are issued.
And you, if I might interrupt for a moment, I have a message from one of my constituents. Wants to know what is the problem that this bill is trying to solve. You did mention that the inadvertent repeal of statute. Is there any I'm just trying to guess what my constituent is talking about here beyond that. Could you read my constituent's mind and tell me what what he's wanting?
Let me walk. First, Chair Fred Neal and members of the committee, your constituent may be wondering why there's new language about regulation of observers. Right now, because there's no provision for requiring the county clerk to allow observers, although I can't think of a clerk that's excluded observers from observing the tally or processing of ballots on election day. This reinstates the statute that requires the county to allow observers to observe the conduct of the election and authorizes the clerk, again, to regulate that so it does not disrupt the efficient conduct of the election. Secondly, on page 2, line 16, of an unconstitutional provision of this statute, ORS 26695, subsection 4 is deleted. This is pursuant to an appellate case of Pickray versus Keesling in the state of Oregon, where the right to wear insignias or make political statements by button was upheld as a First Amendment right. An Article 1, Section 8 right.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Devlin.
And I don't think it makes any difference, but we will be doing it twice, actually, because we've already included it in the piece that went through here last week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is the same statute, so it would be a parallel. We would do this. They'll just be conflict amendments that will address that, mm-hmm. resolve it. Incorporate the new language. Should you move this bill as well?
Okay.
And the language on line 25 is to delete a reference to handicapped electors and clarify that by reference to ORS 24445, talking about persons, electors with physical disability or the inability to read or write. And then really the next important aspect of it that is not any reinstigation of a prior statute but would be new law would be on page 3, line 7 through 11, which would require persons other than elections officials who are collecting ballots at a location that they've established for that purpose. To prominently display there a sign stating not an official ballot drop site. The bill as written applies only to the collection of ballots at locations at which the public has access, and so it's not apply to church parties or ballot casting parties by churches, unions, fraternal associations, whatever. The secretary and the association would like to offer some amendments to that, because we think even at this point, though it may be in the Elks basement, it doesn't hurt the Elks to put up a sign there so that every brother or sister knows that it's not an official drop site. And so that's no onus on the fraternal association, church, union, whatever, to at least label the receptacle in which people are putting their ballots, that it's not official. We also would like on page 2 of the bill, in line 16, and you have those amendments?
Thank you.
That add that a prohibition that no person other than election officials shall attempt to collect voted ballots within 100 feet of the location designated for the deposit of ballots by the county elections official.
Okay, Ms. Irvin?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm Vicki Irvin, Director of Elections for Multnomah County. I'll go back and I will attempt to get into your constituent's head because I think that probably the question arises around this new subsection 18 on page 3. Perhaps I can give some clarification as to where this came from because it kind of came from me and an experience we had in Multnomah County. As we got closer to the general election, what we found is that our office began to get complaints because they would see specifically, we got multiple complaints about a person, I believe a woman, who had set a box on the corner of Southeast Division and whatever intersection in Multnomah County and was there trying to get people to hand her their voted ballots. And our voters were mightily upset about it because they didn't think that it was right and there wasn't anything we could do about it because there was nothing illegal about it. In addition, we are finding that some campaigns, specifically ones where they need a 50% turnout, are mobilizing their volunteers to go door to door to try and help get those voted ballots in to get their 50%. We don't want in any way to diminish the enthusiasm that comes around an election and in involving people in the process because we think that that's really good. However, I see this as a truth in advertising. That allows voters, when they see a place that is, it is put forth as a place to deposit a ballot, allows them to know whether or not this is an official site, the difference being that an official site has staff and people who are accountable, and it's part of the process to make sure that those ballots do get in and that they don't go astray. By going this route, instead of just outlawing the ability of people to do that, it allows the voter to see, aha, this is not an official drop site. The voter then can make their own decisions about whether or not they want to entrust their ballot to this person or at this site. And that was the whole purpose behind doing this. It's truly a truth in advertising.
I like that. I think that's a good idea. I automatically then jump to the square of the individual who comes into a nursing facility and goes room to room soliciting ballots. Just thinking out loud, any way to deal with that situation?
Mr. Chair, I think there are so many different scenarios that we could think of and try and figure out whether this is a problem and how to handle it. Mm-hmm. In the case of nursing homes, I think for the most part, the residents there largely, if they vote, receive assistance from an activities director who then gathers them up and sends them on to us rather than someone going room to room trying to find it. I haven't heard reports of that. I think there are some protections already in law about how far a person can go as far as offering assistance and what they can do, and there certainly are consequences of accepting a ballot and then either altering it or not turning it in. But this one is aimed more at just getting information out to a voter as to whether or not a site is likely to be an official one.
Back to the amendment, the first one listed here, the person other than the election official who will be collecting ballots, 100 feet measured radially from any entrance. How's your typical clerk going to handle that situation? What do you expect that they will do? Go out with a tape measure or what exactly?
Well, Mr. Chair, we chose that very purposefully because 100 feet measured radially from any entrance is language that's already in the statute that basically defines a zone where no electioneering in front of a polling place can take place. And so it is a zone, a line of demarcation that clerks are accustomed to already.
Okay, any further questions on this? Representative Doyle.
Thank you. Looking at the proposed amendment on page 3, regarding paragraph 18, I guess just as I'm reading the paragraph with your amendment, in essence saying no person shall collect ballots voted by electors unless the person prominently displays at the location. And, I mean, you've deleted through your amendment any location where electors may deposit ballots. So there's nothing, I guess I'm just looking at the grammar of, you know, there's nothing you're referring to when you say the location. And I mean, that brought the question that Chair Wilson had already discussed, and we had heard in prior testimony about the students at the universities who go through the dorms and collect, and the neighbors that go around and help out people collecting ballots. And I see the first part of the sentence would be those kinds of individuals that we're, you know, we're saying that no person shall collect ballots, but they have no location to go to. So I'm not sure how we would be looking at that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Doyle, thank you for pointing that out. This is sort of a last-minute collaboration, and language that was proposed to clarify that is not on here. What we propose is that on line 8, after the word shall, would be inserted the words, establish a location to. And the sentence, then the rest of these amendments. So what the sentence would read, no person except an elections official in performance of duties in an election conducted by mail shall establish a location to collect ballots voted by electors unless the person prominently displays at the location a sign stating not an official ballot drop site.
Okay, that covers it great. And to follow up, is there the locations that the clerks have outside their normal elections office, is there already a designation by law that it is an official ballot drop site?
Mr. Chair, Representative Doyle, yes, they are designated under, where's the statute here? There is a statute that says, here, 254-470, right, that requires the county clerk to designate the official drop site. And so those, yes, would be official.
Okay. So then, as far as, I'm sorry to follow up, as I guess the communication then is that when people see a drop box, they're either, I mean, right away they will know it's either official or unofficial. It's not by by saying these are not official, they have to infer that it is official. I mean, it's already designated official.
Mr. Chair, Representative Doyle, yes, that would be correct. The locations of official drop sites are well advertised, and probably for the most part, the box that's there has a sign to indicate that this is the official site. And then we would know that anything else that is set up by someone who's trying to be helpful will have a sign saying not official.
Okay, you hit a word for me that you said probably would be designated, and I want to make sure, I guess, the statute does say that it is designated as an official drop site.
Mr. Chair, Representative Doyle, it is designated. There is nothing to require a sign that uses those that language, and the reason that I put that word in there is because I don't know what all 36 counties have in the way of signage at their drop sites.
Okay, thank you. Any further? Okay, I would just ask you to bring those amendments back, and I think we'll be interested in working this. Okay? Thank you. Appreciate that. With that, I will close the public hearing. So, 2584. Committee, that will do it. I wanted to let you know that on 215, I'm going to be doing some work with a few individuals to try to buff that up on Monday, and I'd like to bring that back sometime later next week. And also the bill that we didn't work today, 2129, I call it the DSL bill, unclaimed property and so forth. I think that'll probably be ready to go late next week as well. So just needed to talk to a few players who happen to be out of the country on that. So with that said, any final? Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you. Have a great weekend.